In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was at theological college, rather a long time ago now, during the vacations, the summer vacations, we had to go off to a pastoral attachment. And two of them I remember quite distinctly. One of them was at Pennywell in Sunderland, where they built ships, and where they had home brew. I was an innocent young man, and when it came to the Sunday evening festivity, I drank some of this stuff and was very surprised to find myself dancing with other people in the church hall. This was the first time I ever did it and the last time. Not the last time I ever drank, I might say, just the last time I ever danced, sober or otherwise. On another occasion, I was sent off to to Newbold in Derbyshire, that's right. Much nicer part of the world, really. There I stayed with one of the church wardens of the parish, a woman of about 50 years of age, whom I can still see now with her sort of curly, gingery hair, looking at me while I'm sort of goggling at her, because she's just said, of course she believes in God, of course she goes to church, but no, she doesn't believe in life after death. And she was the first person that I'd ever met who'd managed that particular combination, that they were churchgoers, that they more or less believed in God, but no, they didn't believe in life after death. And I suppose I thought when I first heard this that really this was a kind of lapse on her part, that she really wasn't very much of a believer or very committed at all. She was probably in church for social reasons, and that was about that. But I've heard this a number of times since. And I wonder really just quite what's going on, because here it says, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. Well, that seems fairly clear to me, that that's fairly fundamental. So why was the churchwarden not too enthusiastic? And my answer to that, to a certain extent, would be to do with change. We know more or less what this world is like. Even in Newbold or at Pennywell, we know what this world is like. And we look to religion to a certain extent to make things seem safe. And one of the ways in which things seem safe is by the way in which we know them. We know what this life is like. It may be rather unpleasant from time to time, but at least we know about it. And we have some control over it. We can make up our minds about it. We can decide to do this, that, or the next thing, within limits, of course, but by and large, that's the way it is. And that makes us feel safe. And also, although there is change in the world, it's not that great, and by and large we might fight off change in our own lives. Not old age, of course, just change. And so we look to it to make things stay the same. Well, obviously death is going to do the exact opposite to that. It's going to make things very, very different altogether. And some of us don't cope with that at all well. We don't like the idea of change to that degree. We don't like the idea of losing control, because we will. What will it be like? Will we be in charge when we get there? That's the real problem. Will we be able to tell the saints and the angels not to mention our Creator? Well, I'm terribly sorry. But here in the parish of St. Caversham, or rather there in the parish, we used to do it this way, and so I expect this is the way it will be done here. I don't actually think that that's quite what's going to happen. And I, for one, don't much care for the fact that I might be told what to do. I'm also used to the fact that I have two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, a nose, and other things of that kind. I don't have everything else now since the surgeons have been at me, but nevertheless I do have most of my bits and pieces here and there scattered about my tautly muscled frame, and I'm rather used to it, and I'm not quite sure what it's going to be like. I remember thinking when I was a teenager and asking Dean Walter Hurst, who gave no satisfactory answer, would I look like a poached egg when I was at the next 12? Well, I look like one now, I rather. I'm sorry to say, tautly muscled body or not. It can be rather alarming. The very thing that's supposed to make us feel safe, secure, that things are as they should be, that they're fundamentally unchanging, that we're not going to be given any nasty surprises and all those kind of things, the very thing that tells us that also tells us that we're going to go into the greatest change that any person could possibly go into. And perhaps we just decide not to have anything to do with it. that, you know, I'm not going to believe that. Well, sorry, I mean, I can do that. Never, never let it be thought that people think objectively, that they look at the evidence and decide accordingly. Of course they don't. They look at it and think, do I like this or don't I like it? If I like it, I believe in it. If I don't, I don't. Very simple. Cardinal Newman, not my favourite person, when he was still an Anglican, went on a little holiday in the south of Europe and went to Palermo and went into a Roman Catholic church and was overwhelmed by the beauty of it. I wouldn't say the stained glass, because it probably was a Baroque church, and beautiful paintings and so on. And in that rather mawkish way that young Victorians had, he wrote in his diary afterwards, "Oh, that thy creed were sound, for thou dost soothe the heart, thou Church of Rome." Well, it soothed his heart quite a bit later on. You can tell that he's going to convert. He'll find eventually the reasons to do it, and he did. He knew what he wanted before he knew why he wanted it. And that's true for all of us to a certain extent. We're very subjective beings. So we can choose, pick and choose to a certain extent what it is we're going to believe. And I don't suppose that's terribly harmful. I don't think that you're going to be given a pitchfork and all the rest of it, particularly in a rather difficult place, if you don't believe in life beyond the grave. It will become come for you, I hope, as a charming and delightful and unexpected surprise. But it oughtn't to, because this is the beginning of the great Easter cycle, really. Ash Wednesday is. So we start off on Ash Wednesday, but we end up, the climax of it really is Easter Day. And we see in Easter Day what a human being is intended to be like. He's intended to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that he comes completely equipped with two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, and three very nice scars, which indicate that he's still just as human as ever he was, but he is changed. He can go through doors. He can, without bothering to open them. He can be in two places at once. He can do all sorts of interesting things like that, and he's beyond suffering and pain and agony and all of those things. But he is the same. The idea that we have that somehow the world to come and this world are totally dissimilar is bunkum. That's a theological term, and it means bunkum. It is bunkum. This world is a pale copy of the world to come. We are not real here. We will be real there. It will be very, very similar. The Lord Jesus Christ was and is and remains forever a human being with two eyes, two hands, two feet, and scars. And he will ever be the same. And you'll be the same, though rather improved. Think of losing those knees. Won't it be good? No more trouble with those knees. Think of the ankles that no longer swell up. Think of all the pleasures and joys that you'll be able to have when you're more or less fit and healthy, which you've probably not been for the last 50 or 60 years. I certainly haven't been. So just let's bear in mind that we're not to be more religious than God, more spiritual than God. The afterlife is not spiritual. It's not otherworldly. It's just this, only more so. It's natural. It's exactly like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly and all those kind of things. There's nothing weird or wonderful about it. As the Eastern Orthodox say, there is no supernatural at all. None. The only difference is that there's an uncreated, who happens to be God, and a created that's everything else. We're just part of everything else. It's true we don't see everything that we could do. We don't perceive everything. But that doesn't mean to say it doesn't exist. And doesn't mean to say it's not normal or a natural part of nature. Dying and entering into the next world is natural. It's what we do. It's what human beings do. So if you find it a bit alarming and you don't like, well, who likes change? I don't like change. But change for the better. I think that's probably not too bad. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.